What a way to start 2020. Usually when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we speak out of the Matthew 26 passage, but now we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and basically give a devotional thought. But if we could stand together and read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he's kind of admonishing them about some issues concerning the purpose and mission of the Lord's Supper, or what we call communion, or the Lord's table. And he says this, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also have passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine his own self before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Thank you. You may be seated, and let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the time that we share together today, a new year, a new time, a new season. And so, Father, we're just grateful and thankful as we begin this year, Father, with remembering our purpose and mission, which is in you. The broken body, the blood that was shed for us, paving for us eternal life, giving us eternal life with you if we'll just accept it. And so, Father, we pray that now as we look to this passage of Scripture, and then we prepare ourselves for your table, we pray for the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that everything we say and do would be in keeping with your will and your wishes. And Father, we pray for the purpose, the continued purpose, history, mission of this church and of this body of believers. And Father, for the transition, this man of God who will be coming here. Father, we do pray upon him. We pray that you would protect him. We pray that keep the devil from irritating and aggravating decisions that would be made. And Father, we pray more than anything else that when we leave here in the next few moments, that we would be forever changed and we'd be closer to you. In Christ's name, amen. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, a few words about beginning. There's nothing more beautiful than beginning the new year with who we are and what we are about. You know, everybody always talks about New Year's resolutions. Does anybody do New Year's resolutions? I don't know. You know, I used to do New Year's resolutions. And then, you know, they do this study every year that, you know, everybody does New Year's resolutions. They found that 70% of New Year's resolutions has to do with either losing weight or exercise. And 20% has to do with saving money and turning over a new leaf and this kind of stuff. And we know that most of those New Year's resolutions are broken in about 2 months. So I've got a lot of things going on. I have several weddings. I've got family weddings coming in the summer and in the fall. And so I figure, well, I need to, you know, I don't know about you. I've done nothing but usually I exercise and I'm on the treadmill and I didn't do any of that. I just ate and sat, watched Hallmarks, all of that. I'm husband of the year, okay? But I came up with this, and this very, very quickly, as far as 2020 is concerned. The way I'm going to do this diet thing is 4 C's, okay? No cheese, no chocolate, no carbs, and no cheating. And when we look at what it takes to, you know, we kid about it, and hopefully we'll cut down on the stuff that we really don't need to eat. So I'm allowing myself to go to Krispy Kreme today at 2 o'clock And then that's it. Okay. But I love when Doug, our chairman of deacons, said we're going to do the Lord's Supper first Sunday. And, you know, it's always a new year of starting and all of this kind of thing, resolutions. But what a great way to start. The idea of understanding who we are and what we are about as believers, because this is it. This is who we are because of Christ, because of what he did on the cross, because he conquered death, because 3 days later he resurrected again and he's alive today. We know that we have a future. We say it, but it's very, very true. The broken body of Christ sacrificed for us and the blood that was shed for us through Christ gives us such a freedom, not only a freedom here, but also an eternal, more important, an eternal freedom with Christ forevermore. The Lord's table, several things quickly. The Lord's table is a table of remembrance. It's a table of obedience, a table of remembrance. Jesus said to do it. He said, this is my table. This is who I am. Remember me. Do this. A table of obedience. He said to do this. He didn't say just think about it, but he said, do it. And then three, it's a table of unity. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. And also a table of self-examination. Interesting about the Lord's Supper. While the Lord's Supper, when we partake of it, does look back on what Jesus did on the cross, it always looks forward to the coming of Jesus and the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's very important as we remember this table of remembrance. It's a picture of sin and corruption in the Bible. Because in bread, we need to... It's this yeast needs time to work. We see that it was a concentration of those in the Passover meal. Some scholars say that the unleavened bread used at the Passover meal would have had of scorched mark stripes and holes from baking that would look like pierced marks. In the same way, the body of Jesus was broken for us. And he was without sin as the bread had no leaven, and his body bore the stripes and was pierced as the bread. This cup that we're going to partake of. We are called to remember the blood of Jesus and this new covenant. And looking back in the Old Testament, the Passover meal, again, featured several cups of wine, each with a different title. The cup Jesus referred to as the cup of redemption, and Jesus added to the reminder of redemption from slavery, from Egypt, the idea that his blood would confirm a new covenant, which would change our relationship with God. And so this covenant, this new covenant, is all about inner transformation that cleanses us from all sin. And it's the idea that we remember. Paul says, remember the events the night of Jesus' crucifixion. Recalls that Jesus was not only executed, but he was betrayed. So, and when he had given thanks, in theology and church custom, the Lord's Supper is also known as the Lord's table or the Eucharist, which is the idea in Greek of giving thanks. We give thanks. He broke it. Paul puts his emphasis on remembering Jesus. Remembering. Don't forget, but remember the meaning of Jesus' death. So the breaking of bread, the drinking of wine, important parts of the Passover celebration. And Jesus takes these important pictures and reminds us of Israel's deliverance from Egypt and then adds them meanings connected with his own death and the cross, which has purpose. Then he moves to our passage of Scripture of how to conduct the true Lord's Supper. He says, I received from the Lord, which has also delivered you, that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So it's a table of remembrance, a table of obedience. In the context, we look at that church at Corinth, and the Corinthians Christians were coming from a culture where the pagans would commonly have these wild banquets given in honor of a pagan god. And so Paul is trying to correct them and say, this is how you do this. And so in ancient culture there, as in sometimes in our culture, we sometimes forget. We forget the purpose. And so Paul brings them back to purpose and mission. He brings them back. And so it's a table of remembrance. It's a table of obedience. Thirdly, it's a table of unity. Because in this Corinthian church, as they were eating and feasting, they had misunderstood. And there was a division that had taken place. And that is the problem with the Corinthian church all the way through. There's these constant factions and issues of divisions. And Paul says, no, this is not to be. You're to be unified. And then he says, whoever eats of this or drinks of this in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and body of the Lord. And here's a warning here to treat the Lord's Supper with a sense of reverence. And then practice self, fourthly, practice self-examination. That word is examine yourself. It is very interesting. The idea is not to keep people away from the table, but to prepare them to receive it in the right way. Now, what I found when it comes to examination, you know, we're good at examining other people, aren't we? But this is examine yourself. That word examine means to critique. It means to inspect. It means to look at intently and honestly. If there's anything keeping us from God, if there's anything keeping us from the Lord, is there anything keeping us from fellowship with Jesus, if there's anything keeping us from, then we need to straighten it out. We need to get it right. We need to, before we just ritualistically take something, that we forget the purpose and mission of eat and drink judgment. Paul says a reverent conduct of the Lord's table invites God's corrective discipline. This issue of worthy, some misunderstand that, because the reality is none of us are really worthy in one sense, but through Christ we are worthy. And so the idea here is that we are to simply open our heart to Jesus and recognize his presence with us and in us and correct those things, that anything that keeps us, which is that table of confession. Confession. And so Paul ends, we didn't read this, but Paul ends, he says, so wait for one another. Be patient with one another. And so you meet together, so it may not result in judgment. And so as we prepare for this, Paul reminds us again of the table. It's a table of remembrance, a table of obedience, a table of unity, a table of self-examination. Now, I don't know what your resolutions are for 2020, but I would ask that we just be reminded, be called back to our original understanding as believers in Christ. And that's Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's why we do this, a table of remembrance. It's not our table. It's not your table. It's not my table. It's the Lord's table. And it's to be given with that understanding of love and respect and reverence. A table of unity. A table of obedience, a table of self-examination and confession, and remembering who Christ is. Let's participate with the Lord's Supper. Thank you for the broken body. We thank you for the sacrifices. We thank you for the beatings and the hurts and the bruisings and the scourging and all of that that you did for us. And Father, we're so thankful. And so, Father, as we remember that, we're thankful that we can depend on you, our author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.